Hello, once again I am back, Gabriel, and as I am taking you through the AI into HRM practices, we spoke about hiring, we spoke about employee engagement and other things. We have completed four chapters, now the fifth chapter. Now, training and development is becoming very, very important in today's life, into the HRM context. And we will talk about various challenges that training and development as a function faces, and how AI can mitigate that part, as well as also looking into the section of how things get into the right way of these things. Having been worked on training and development thoroughly as part of the HR, I'll be also sharing certain practices what typically training and development manager faces or wants to do in terms of achieving various employee engagement or employee experiences or their growth, career pathing and succession planning. And also we'll speak about how AI is doing into training and development. So welcome to all of you. As an introduction, we'll be speaking about in the corporate environment today, and it's very competitive. An employee must not only be talented, but also open to learning, upskilling, reskilling and change. Investing in employees' professional growth is essential for employee engagement, and which is in turn crucial for company's bottom line. Conventional training methods are tedious and unable to tailor instructions to build employees' specific needs. And in dynamic business landscape, new technologies and skills emerge at a very fast pace. Ensuring that the workplace is equipped with the right knowledge, skill and expertise is a necessity. Now, typically, when I say training and development, what comes to your mind? So, things like training programs, things like to do, what to do, not to do, how to do, or upskilling or reskilling, or you know, change management, all these things comes under training and development. Now, typically, a manager of TND will typically face about how to, you know, run the program, how to arrange the program, how to invite. In today's particular scenario, the training is not always classroom, it's a mix now. So even virtual, people are getting connected to the classroom and all these setups being done, you know, creating training need, understanding the training need, then designing a program and all these things. So where can AI help you understand is we are going to speak all about. As I was saying that, you know, the need or the landscape. So you might devise a program for a leadership, or you might devise a program for, you know, various people in the organizations, and you have to get them to train. So it was more of a checkbox exercise. When I say checkbox exercise, what I mean is, you know, by the end of the month, we have to complete this many number of training days for a particular employee and so on and so forth. However, in the current setup, they are more getting into personalized learning experiences. So it is more of how individuals' experience in that learning program matters. And that function, whatever topic you're training, whether it's a technical or a functional or a process or a behavioral topic, all matters about how you're training. So the how part is getting more critical. Because if you look at the training and development landscape, the theories of training and development landscape remains almost the same. I mean, if I talk about a situational leadership one, which was curated in 1969, it's still the same. I mean, but the how method you're making them train or teach is mostly related to the learning experiences, as people say. However, having said that, there are certain guidelines also that defines how a training should be conducted. For example, there is Gagne's 9-point instruction method, gaining attention, sharing the objectives. You know, then there are various VAC methods, which is visual, auditory and kinesthetic, and certain places. So all these things matters the most, but these are part of the how. Having said that, how you create that experience, that matters the most in today's scenario. Now, I come from a conventional training method when I learned about how to give training, the topics and everything. So most companies relies on subject matter experts. So for if you're doing a technical training for an automotive or automobile industry, so people are trained on those topics and they become subject matter expert. And their guideline for developing a training programs are being done on the base of that only. So the number of new employees that can be trained each year, the time it takes to pull SMEs from their daily task, and how much the SMEs spend time outside their primary job focus is a concern. The lack of vital hands-on experience for new employees. Now, please understand, when you're joining a company as a fresher or as a full-time employee, giving them a real-life experience and practicing new skills is limited. I mean, for example, if you talk about an automobile industry, they can still be taken to a shop floor and show them how a car is made, but that actual real-life experience doesn't happen that much in today's program or in a traditional training program. Inexperience of trainees can lead to safety risks such as injury or even death. New employees have to stay idle until a full batch strength is available and scheduled for training because of pulling out SMEs to train a few new hire batches. What it means is, so for example, your current manpower planning from an hiring perspective is only 15, and your batch size has to be 20 to do an induction. So these people have to wait. Waiting in today's scenario is not at all being taken very well by the top management. So the alternatives becomes is video and PowerPoint mediums or a virtual medium or whosoever is there from whatever locations. They start doing hands-on learning experiences. For example, if you go to Maruti and if you're a trainer there, you have to pass few technical things using their simulation. So driving a car or the gear shaft or the gear mechanism, the automatic car, the hybrid car, all these things. And now they are getting into the electronic vehicles. So the training itself is a big thing. So how do you make the learning experience better than what it was yesterday is the key function out here. The inability to adjust for training variances. Now, when I say training variance, what I mean to say is the variance can depend upon the location, the technical factors, or in the compliance need, or the laws, or the language can throw in variables in training. Traditional training method often fail to teach subtle differences across different environment. Okay, so technologies can be customized to train employees according to the unique set of each location as required. For example, if I'm doing a leadership training, or if I'm doing a technological training, now I'm training those people to be trained on a particular topic, let's say Java. Now, to use a traditional approach, I might have to get a person who knows the best in Java, then I have to train that person to deliver the workshop, which is not a monotonous one, so the learning experiences can be better. So this training variances are not catered to for a traditional approach. Traditional approach has always been classroom. Now, the question that can come to your mind is that before AI came into picture in such a big way, was traditional method a bad one? No, I mean, there was no other way to do it. Initially, there was a software called GoToMeeting through which you could have trained virtually, but end of the day, that's a conventional learning method. The difficulty in managing training schedules. Now, please understand, so there are certain companies who have a roster of 2 new hire batches per month, which gives a pre-head count for the hiring team, so they will hire accordingly. So a batch starts at the first week of the month and the second batch starts at the third week of the month. So based on that, their hiring goes on. But again, managing the training schedule, who will be the trainer available, the logistical challenges, because today we are not only training them in classroom, at certain places we might also train them. So if the laptops have reached there or not. So a training has to be scheduled during periodic servicing of a machinery, which may happen once in a month or once in a quarter. Makes a small window available for training. This also eats into the time allotted for the machinery to be served. Problem is, if the firm follows a 24-hour operation, then training has to happen immediately. Otherwise, the production line will be stopped. And if the production line is stopped, it hampers the entire company productivity. Increased risk of accidents and injuries. So not having the opportunity to practice new skills in controlled risk-free environment increases the risk of. So if I'm taking somebody into safety and security and I don't give them real hands-on on the job, the employees are going to make a mistakes. Learning from mistakes made during training ensure that catastrophic accidents don't happen. That's why you will see the fire safety training happens using an SME, and the SMEs, if they don't arrive at the right time, then the new hire training or the safety hazardous training never happens. Other drawbacks are one size fits all approach. So traditional training comes with one specific thing. They don't focus on individual preferences or the learning or the aptitude or the professional goals or even the need that has been created for that. Traditional training is a resource intensive training. So somebody knows to do a training, they will go for a training. A lot of time is consumed, 8 hours per day, creating the training material, administering it, managing it, evaluating it, whether it's right or wrong, because those books will be given to the audiences. And then the skill gap identification. So without continuous monitoring and feedback, it is difficult to pinpoint the identify the skill gaps. And one of the biggest things I can say out here is, we are often told to the trainers, are you training effective? And what the trainers come back is the feedback score. Now, feedback score measures the training efficiency, how the training was done, how good was the knowledge imparted, was it able to make you understand right or wrong. So it's again a very conventional or traditional approach. In today's sequence, people are not only waiting at training efficiency, they are also willing to see what happens after 3 months. So is the trainer picking up ample amount of things throughout that 3 month time to ensure that the skill gap identification and the training works hand on hand. Content management is one of the biggest, if you ask me, problem in the modern training and development, because in most of the cases, the content is prepared by someone else and it is being delivered by someone else. So creating, managing and delivering content to individual employees is very difficult. So somebody who is not available or on holiday or something, you cannot create the content because you are not skilled to create a content. You're only a delivery guy. That creates the problem. And as I already said, measuring effectiveness of post-training assessments or on-the-job monitoring or on-the-job training, traditional methods of assessment are more based on individual judgment and intuition. It doesn't give you accurate information or doesn't give you the proper picture of the effectiveness. Now, one of the biggest issues that enterprise face today is of efficient training. You know, employees upskilling and reskilling are becoming more and more necessary as industries continue to change with the rapid advances, innovations in technology. This highlights the limitation of traditional training methods because organizations are really, really looking to create a strategy and maintain a staff that is capable of quickly adjusting to new circumstances. In one of the companies I worked as a head, LNOD, the company was demerging and we had to train the new company into various aspects, the technology, the process, the functions, and as well as behavioral of how they'll handle. Initially we were told that we'll go with the entire 600 people that was post the demerge. They will be coming to the new company, but then we initially thought we'll start with the team leads. Now this discussion went on for a long period of time. Eventually we all agreed that everybody would have to go to this kind of a training because of the demerger, and they have to understand how to, you know, cascade all these things into one single thing. So we focused on the skill. Even though we did so, and even though because of the locations we did a virtual training, the training team that catered to the training, the content team took a week to make the training, so 5 days. The delivery team, after doing a mock run or a dry run, started with one pilot batch to see how things are going. And most importantly, to cater to 600 people in 25 odd participants in one single batch goes to around almost 20-25 odd batches. 20-25 odd batches of 4 hours each. That means I'm looking at a trainer who will be exhausted in 12 days, which is completely not done in the LNOD perspective. So organizing and crafting those is a bigger challenge. And that's what the conventional training methods, you know, is unable to do so. So what's the way out? Before AI came into the picture, what people in training and development used to do are very simple. They used to devise a mechanism manually so that they were able to cater to all the needs given by the top management or the HODs. So for example, if it goes to a behavioral training, they might say, no, I am thinking to do a leadership training for my directors. If the technical training, some might say it's a refresher training. So at the beginning of the year, once we created a training calendar and we published it to the HODs that these are the programs we are doing in the entire calendar year with the dates already been created, and post that. But trust me, creating this training calendar took the training team almost 2.5 months. Now, 2.5 months doing nothing, creating the training calendar, getting into all those things is a huge, huge challenge in today's scenario. So the first thing, if I use AI, is to speed up the learning process and increase completion rates. Because one of the biggest thing that a company looks into now, currently if I speak about, is the completion rates. So I have set up a learning process and how quickly am I able to complete the training program. The second one is assessment techniques. Now, after every program now, there is a need to assess that person's competence level of understanding. Now, if I talk about training and development, there are four level of competencies that learning happens. The first one is unconscious incompetence. The second one is conscious incompetence. The third one is conscious competence. And the fourth one is unconscious competence. Now, when I say unconscious incompetence, very simple, I do not know what needs to be done, how to reskill or upskill myself. The second one is I know my lack. I have been given a feedback, but I'm waiting for the training to happen. The third one is now I know what to do. I'm waiting for the implementation to happen. And finally, once I implement, I become a master of that implementation. A conventional training method, when using all these things, takes a longer period of time. So the need for traditional evaluation methods should be eliminated. Translating training materials into multiple languages. I remember we are doing a program for Toyota and we are doing for multiple zones. So Hindi, Tamil, Telugu, Malayalam, Bengali, to a certain extent we went to that level also. We went into a language called Tulu, which is used in Karnataka. Now, why to create these things? Because these speeds up the learning process. I don't have to wait for a Telugu speaking trainer to come up and then do the training. So the initial process is that your delivery might happen in English, but the content that they're going through might happen in all this way. So you will find a lot of places they're having vernacular languages for training medium. It frees up time developing content by becoming digital tutors. I mean, if you go to ChatGPT and if you can find the right keywords to create a PPT, it can give you enormous things, objectives, activities, all these things. And ultimately, it attracts and retains talent. The benefits for the organization of using AI into training and development, it improves employee performance and productivity, the first thing. Then better succession planning, ensures adaptability and innovation. For the employee, it's a more of a personalized approach, creates a better learning experience. It speeds up the delivery. So the content of the LMS is wide open. So if you want to, so there are videos in LMS which speaks about in various Indian languages. This also aids of reinforcement of learning goals. If you go to Europe, LMSs are available in various languages like Russian, Dutch, German, English is being a common. And it becomes a customized video content to form a more personal one-on-one connection. Now, I want to spend few time out here. Now, imagine I am delivering this lecture in English. What if there is a person in your batch who doesn't understand English or Hindi? He might understand one regional language. Is the lecture available in that language? So you might use AI tool. There is a tool can be used in Teams meeting if you enable that AI feature. Whatever you say becomes a subtitle while the training program is conducted. So what happens is that way, whatever you're saying, if there is another person who doesn't understand English and can read, the subtitles are there. Today, if you go to various video content, they are making different language video content. It's not only stuck to that, and it creates more personal one-on-one connection. Because of AI, a virtual lecturer can be available 24/7. You don't have to wait for a subject matter expert to come in. Employees can adjust the training to their learning pace. I only want to do chapter one today or chapter two tomorrow. Employees can pause and resume training at their convenience and time available. That's what AI does. Employees can ask questions that will be answered instantly by an AI chatbot containing all the training data. So imagine you are in a session where your questions are answered by chatbot, but yes, the input has to be given by the training manager. The transformative use of AI into employee training is again machine learning and natural language processing enable the creation of adaptive and personalized learning programs. L&D initiatives are integrating with AI that can streamline the L&D processes to foster a culture of continuous learning. Some of the AI that is used in certain tools are personal learning experience, virtual assistance, scalability, predictive analytics, global accessibility, performance evaluation, and feedback. Workflow integrated training. In general, what is workflow integrated training? Workflow integrated training is something which is created by the job roles that they're in. So if somebody works in an R&D department, then because of that department's workflow, there are some integrated training. So how do you conduct an R&D on X method, whether it is empirical, whether it is normal, what do you do? So that integration, because on a traditional approach, what will happen? You have to find somebody who has worked in R&D. You know, I'll tell you, in post-2000 to 2005, this 5 to 6 years, a huge chunk of training came up as a software coding. Now, we had to find a programmer who knew coding and the debugging methods. He gave us the PPT. We kind of synchronized the PPT in the way it can be delivered, and then we did. It took us 1 month to channelize, formalize the entire thing. What if AI assistant takes care of the entire thing? So automatically breaking learning into manageable bite-sized chunks and incorporating learning into daily routines. I don't have to wait. A mail can go from an LMS. SuccessFactors, if you know anyone using SuccessFactors, and if you go there, SuccessFactors, if you enroll into LMS program and if you have not completed it, it will send you emails periodically that, you know, your lesson plan is completed to so and so. You should complete by this date, otherwise this learning program will go out. That's how it happens. Learning can also happen in real time, although there are a lot of checks and balances need to be done, but yes, can also happen. AI can deliver a real-time feedback. You know, we use success factors of the feedback on various way to understand whether the program was good, bad, or need to be done from the objective perspective. We created a form and we kind of integrated that form into LMS. And trust me, the results, the feedback that we got was amazing. And AI can interact with employees, providing instant answer to questions. You know, what if today you have something called as Siri in training and development, where you just say, hey Siri, can you let me know the latest trend in leadership training programs? It is happening in chatbots, but that day is not far away when this kind of virtual assistants may come to your, you know, mobile or laptop and can help you. So what happens is it can give you an immediate feedback for essential for skill development or refinement, whichever you want to look at. The critical part out here is, now virtual reality and augmented reality was there, and I'm not saying it was not there, although it was a huge cost and used to take a huge amount of time. What AI has done is it has created an algorithm which will reduce the time for creating that kind of a content. Today, this is not part of training and development, but just to give you augmented reality or a virtual reality thought process, if you go to Amazon and you have a device which is part of VR or AR, it tell you, you can put that object in your room and can see how it looks. Or you can do a 360 degree rotation of the product. I mean, somebody has to build that, right? Somebody had to train somebody else to create that kind of a thing. So what I'm trying to say is, AI generated content for VR and AR involves the use of AI algorithms. Employee experiences, work settings in virtual and safe environments practice to improve their skills. And in industries like manufacturing or healthcare, VR and AR simulations give employees hands-on experience. It's a real time. If you go to a simulation, it will give you that kind of an effectiveness, thought process of how you can use that at a normal time. If you go to Maruti's driver assistant program, I'm not too sure whether it is available pan-India, but I've been to various outlets where they Maruti has come up with a driving school. So even for passenger vehicles, it is okay. You have a four-wheeler, and you can, but for six wheels or for large commercial vehicles, you cannot have and you can go out. So they have a simulation where you have a steering and with clutch, brake and accelerator, and you can see a screen by the way you operate, and it certifies you whether you can be a driver or not. So VR and AR simulations, hands-on experience, and you actually feel that. I do not know how many of you recall this, but back in the day, I used to play video games, which used to give you immersive experiences. Like you sit on a bike, the bike rotates, and on the screen, the bike rotates left and right. So these are AR and VR, but now AI is getting into all of these things. In virtual environment, employees can practice assembly, surgery. In US, in most of the healthcare organizations where they support surgeons for various surgeries, they have immersive simulation. It's expensive, but it's there. So if you're stuck somewhere, you can play. There are surgeons who are newly coming into the field of surgery are using this to do surgery hands-on. That means they're seeing on the simulation that, you know, you take a scissor or you take the equipment that is used, you hold it like this, you cut it in there, and it is happening live there, and they're doing it with that. So these are highly engaging and interactive training programs, which can lead to a better knowledge retention and improve. Because you're not only learning, but you're also doing. So learning and doing at the same time helps people improve their skills.